I'm glad to be with you today. I'm honored to be in the pulpit, to stand in the space where Todd Davis preaches to you each Sunday. And I've had a warm welcome already this morning in sharing in worship with your Reach Contemporary Worship Service. For those of you who haven't met, I'm Kathy Jamison Ogg. I'm the Columbia District Superintendent, which means I get the honor of working with 67 churches across Richland and Lexington County, and you're one of those churches, and I happen to live in Forest Acres. So I love this church and this community, and I've been over to visit a couple times prior to today to be in worship with you, and so it's a great honor and celebration to be here today. I come with fear and trembling, knowing that many of you may not be happy that your pastor is moving and that I am a part of the cabinet and work with the bishop who makes those decisions. So I have a bulletproof vest under my robe today, but I know that you will warmly embrace your new pastor and send Todd off with love and prayers as he goes to serve in a new place that also needs his gifts. We're reading today from Ephesians chapter 1, verses 15 through 23. I'm reading from the NRSV, the New Revised Standard. I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints. And for this reason, I do not cease to give thanks for you as I remember you in my prayers. I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation as you come to know him, so that with the eyes of your heart enlightened, you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance among the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power for us who believe, according to the working of his great power. God put this power to work in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but in the age to come. And he has put all things under his feet and has made him the head over all things for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. This is the word of God for the people of God. Let us pray. Gracious, holy God, we pray that your words would be spoken today. And we especially pray that those who have a deep need within their hearts, those who are visiting or those who are carrying heavy burdens, may come to experience the joy and fellowship of Christ in this time of worship. Now bless the reading and preaching of this word, that the word become flesh might be in our midst. Amen. I've had many people say to me over the years, I don't like organized religion. Have you heard that before? I want to ask them, do you like disorganized religion? Because sometimes the church is a little disorganized. What these folks mean is they don't like the institutional church. All that makes up the institutional church: tradition, routine, committees, structure, hierarchy, rules. They prefer to practice spirituality on their own or not at all. Just last week on an MSN website, there was an article reporting on Pew Research regarding religion in America. And I'm quoting, "The number of Americans who don't affiliate with any particular religion has grown to 56 million in recent years. The growing group is called the nones, N-O-N-E-S. That is, they have no religious affiliation, no spiritual connection. The nones are the second largest group in total numbers behind evangelicals, according to a Pew Research study. And again, this was just released last week. In South Carolina alone, the Bible Belt, 70% of your neighbors and my neighbors are unchurched. 70%. You need only look around at the empty seats to know that this is true. In that 70% of unchurched people, some of them are the nones, N-O-N-E-S, who have no spiritual religious affiliation or practice spirituality in no capacity. But some of them may also be in that category of people who once were a part of the church but are burned out or have been hurt or disillusioned with organized religion, the institutional church. I have good news for you and for them. Oswald Chambers wrote that the body of Christ is an organism, not an organization. It is an organism and not an organization. Now, having said all that, I do realize that the United Methodist Church looks more like an organization sometimes than it does an organism. We have hierarchy, structure, a book of discipline with rules. We have a bishop and district superintendents. I recall Dean Ridenhour, the former dean of Lutheran Seminary, saying that a Methodist bishop has more power than any bishop in all of Christendom because the Methodist bishop can tell the pastors where to go. Send them off wherever. You know that truth because your pastor, Todd Davis, was picked up unexpectedly. You did not request for your pastor to move, nor did he request to be moved. But in the midst of the appointment process, the cabinet discerned that we needed him in a different place. I told your SPRC committee, as they begin to welcome your new pastor, Pam Ledbetter, that this is an arranged marriage. You didn't get to pick your new pastor. You don't get a period of getting to know them, dating them, engaging, being engaged, but it's more of an arranged marriage. And the bishop and the cabinet say, welcome, Pam, and love each other as Christ has loved you. And we would pray that as Todd goes to a new place, that he would also receive that same welcome and they would love each other as Christ has loved us. So in the midst of all that, I think about who has the power and the authority in the church. Is it the bishop who gets to tell the pastor when and where to go? Is it the district superintendent who has a role in these decisions? Who's the head of the church? Is it the lay leader who leads today in worship? Is it the chair of the administrative council or the church council? Who is the head of the church? Who has the ultimate authority in this organization or this organism? Paul has some words for us, not only in Ephesians, but also I'm going to lift up today 1 Corinthians 12 and Colossians 1, in which Paul describes the body of Christ and the head of the church. In 1 Corinthians 12, Paul uses that beautiful metaphor of the body of Christ as a human body. And he wrote that each part is a vital part of the body. Each of you has a role to play. Each of you has been given spiritual gifts and talents and abilities to share with the body of Christ, to make it a healthy organism in which all the parts of the body are interconnected and interdependent. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 12, "For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in the one Spirit we were all baptized into one body. Indeed, the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot would say, 'Because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body,' that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? But as it is, God arranged the members of the body, each one of you, as he chose. Each of you has spiritual gifts. While I was sitting in Todd's office in between services, I picked up your stewardship material and a spiritual gifts inventory. There must be a way that you discern those spiritual gifts as you decide what is it the body needs from you to be healthy. I know that you have spiritual gifts, and I know that Bethel is a healthy body of Christ. And so, like Paul, I want to say these words: I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, and for this reason I do not cease to give thanks for you as I remember you in my prayers. I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus before I ever became district superintendent. I was at the Blythewood Rotary one day a year ago, and there at the Blythewood Rotary were many of my church members who are also a part of the Rotary in Blythewood, my Trinity Methodist church members where I served prior to my new appointment. The speaker that day was your very own Sally Hafner. She had been invited by Brenda Hafner, a member of the Rotary, and also her daughter-in-law, to come and speak about family promise. And Sally gave a passionate and wonderful presentation about this ministry with the homeless. When the Rotary Club meeting was over, two of my church members, Bill Lackey and Laura Bro, came running over to me and said, "We have to do family promise. This is an amazing ministry. We have to do this at Trinity Methodist in Blythewood." They went back to Trinity. They planted seeds. A committee was formed. The missions committee chair got on fire. And just recently, Trinity Blythewood hosted their first set of homeless families the week after Easter. I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ before even coming here, to know that you are a healthy body with wonderful spiritual gifts in each of you, and you are doing good kingdom work that is having an impact not only in this neighborhood of Forest Acres, but beyond. This body is healthy, and the parts are all in the right place. But beware of Mr. Potato Head. Do you remember Mr. Potato Head? How many of you remember Mr. Potato Head? Okay, this is another image or a metaphor for the body of Christ that is written about in a book called Simple Church by Tom Rainier. You know how Mr. Potato Head works? You plug all the parts into the hole, and when they're placed in the right hole, Mr. Potato Head almost looks like a human being. He has an eye, ears, nose. He looks like a human being. He has hands and feet. But sometimes, for fun, children will place the parts in the wrong holes. And so there'll be an arm sticking out where the ear should be. And there'll be lips where the nose should be. And there'll be a foot coming out of the top of the head. And Mr. Potato Head looks all confused and discombobulated. Unfortunately, sometimes the church can come to look like a discombobulated Mr. Potato Head. Everything is badly mixed up. The parts of the body are not aligned as they should be. Confusion abounds. And while it's funny on a toy, it's not so funny in the church. So beware of Mr. Potato Head and make sure the parts of the body are in the right place, that those with spiritual gifts are serving in the right capacity, and that the parts of the body are working in unison and in alignment with one another, and not all confused or discombobulated. The thing that's interesting about Mr. Potato Head is really that his head is his body. You know what I mean? Like, the whole potato is the head, but it's also the body. And what is distinct about the church is that there is a difference between the body and the head. They are distinct from one another. And while it's a critical problem if the parts are misaligned, it is even more a critical problem in the church if the body and the head are not aligned and connected properly. The head, Paul tells us, is Jesus Christ. It is the most important part of the body, Jesus Christ. And the body must be in constant communication and close connection with the head. Think about it this way. In a human body, the head turns the body and sends it in different directions. The head gives signals to the body and tells it where to go. The head has the eyes, the vision, to tell the body where to go and direct it. If there is no vision, the body would wander around aimlessly, bump into the wall, become injured, and fall down. God is calling you to follow the head in a vision for your future. Our bishop says it's hard to drive a car looking in the rearview mirror. If you're looking to the past, you will never get where you need to go. The head has the eyes and the vision. So be asking Jesus, the head, where is it you want us to go in the future, Lord? Where is it you're leading us with vision to move in a new direction, for new ministries, to reach new people in new places? Lex McDonald, who happens to be here today, and I didn't ask him to be here, but raise your hand, Lex. He didn't know that I was, maybe he knew I was going to be talking about him in the sermon, and he'd rather me talk not behind his back, but in front of him. Lex is a Methodist minister who actually works at SCANA in strategic planning. He's on honorable location. That means he's not currently serving a church. But what Lex has been doing around our district is working with churches, including your church, to look at a vision, a strategic vision for the future, to seek God's guidance in where will the church go next. What is the vision? It comes from the head, from Jesus Christ. The head also gives signals or commands to the body to tell it to move this way or that way. And if the body is disconnected to the head, or the head is not working, as in the case of, for instance, a severe brain injury, when someone has a brain injury, their body is immobile, lifeless. The head must operate the body. It's not the other way around. The body does not operate the head. The head gives signals, commands, direction, and power for the body to move. Christ is the head of the body. Stay in constant communication with Christ through prayer, through worship, through the study of the scriptures, and let Christ direct the body on where it should go and how it should minister. Jesus is above the body, but he is also, Paul tells us, above all rulers, above the governor, above the president, above all rulers and authorities. Paul writes in Colossians 1, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For in him all things in heaven and on earth were created, things visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or powers. All things have been created through him and for him. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he might come to have first place in everything. In our culture, it is hard to see that Christ has first place. The world has become a secular place, as I mentioned those statistics at the beginning of the sermon. We have been sidelined as the church is no longer the center of the community. But that does not mean Christ is not ruler in our lives and in the world through God's power and might. Sometimes we forget that Jesus has first place in our lives and in the church. He has saved us from sin and death, and by his death and resurrection, he has given birth to the church. Without Christ, there would be no church. All power, knowledge, authority, and vision and direction and guidance comes from Jesus Christ. He is the ultimate authority and power. And we forget that in the world in which there are many other things that pull us in different directions and many other voices speaking in authority. But God has put him on the throne and God is in charge, which reminds me of a favorite quote. There are two truths in life. One, there is a God. Two, it's not you. It's not me. It's not even the bishop. God is at work and in control of the world, and he has raised Jesus up to rule over all authorities and power. The head of the church is not the pastor. It is not the lay leader. It is not the district superintendent. It is not the bishop. It is Jesus Christ. And we do best when we trust that he will lead the church. He will lead the church into the future. Today is Ascension Sunday. And let me close with these words from Paul, reminding us God put this power to work in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named. And he has put all things under his feet and has made him the head over all things for the church, which is his body. Today we remember that Jesus is seated at the right hand of God in the heavens and has the power to rule all nations. And we remember his closing words before his ascension. Go therefore into the world and make disciples of all nations. We, the body of Christ, do that best when we embody within us the love and grace, peace and hope of Jesus Christ. So today, as you worship and as you go forth in the world to work, embody in your life, in your actions, words, and deeds, the love of Christ, and trust that he will lead your church into the future. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.